Tim Ballard right here is saying, I'm going to initiate a role play. So this sounds a lot more like a casting couch situation, that if there was like a Hollywood producer, director, actor who was making a movie and lining up beauty pageant queens out of his trailer and like, oh shit, this isn't even a Hollywood trailer for a Hollywood movie. This is just like, this trailer was a meth lab 5 minutes ago.
So I can get rid of them and get back to focusing solely on rescuing God's children.
She doesn't deserve that. She hasn't lived a life that deserves that whatsoever.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Timmy Did What podcast. We have a really important, special episode for you today. I am one of your hosts, Kara Burrell, joined by Ryan Fisher.
Hi.
This lawsuit involving Amy Morgan Davis, Miss Utah. Give people a little outline about what we're talking about today and why it's important.
Yeah, this is another twist and turn that we didn't see coming. There's a lot of twists and turns of this whole saga. Amy Morgan Davis, former Miss Utah, that was part of the original filing the lawsuit with the women, but her identity was kept anonymous. She was known in that lawsuit as MK, but her identity was kept anonymous. She's a public figure. She probably wants to stay out of the press and the smear campaigns that Tim throws at anybody that comes out in opposition to him. But she did provide her testimony alleging sexual assault by Tim and grooming and manipulation in the original lawsuit with the other women that came out a year ago. The New York Times, Mike Baker with the New York Times, did an article on the sexual assaults, really focusing on that. And he interviewed, among the other women, Amy Morgan Davis to back up the other women's claims. Well, that really pissed Tim off. Obviously, he's not happy about that, that a prominent, well-respected public figure in Utah would put her name and reputation and credibility behind the women and the lawsuits. Mm-hmm. So what does he do? He filed his own lawsuit of defamation against Amy, and that just got filed a few days ago. And she's very well known. Her family is very well known. Davis County, that Davis from Davis County is her family. So
wow.
Tells you a lot about who she is and who her family is and the kind of prolific, well-known reputation she has that's full of integrity. So this is, I don't think this is going to go like Tim hopes it's going to go, especially because there's not only witnesses to the alleged seduction that she is alleged to have done against Tim, but also a lot of documentation. And so in this episode, we're going to get into some of that. First, play a clip by Tim talking about this, why he has to do this, provide the full context we'll share with you. And then I also happen to be good personal friends with the key witness, or one of the key witnesses in Amy's defense. I'm telling you, like, this whole story from the start to finish is personal for me. And so I spoke with her last night, and we're not going to play the whole interview, but she's going to put some context on who Amy is, and I'll introduce you to her later in this podcast. So, and then if that's not enough, then we got a clap back that we want to share with you from Sasha, mm-hmm. who is speaking out publicly, that kind of wraps all this together into a nice little bow on what this is really all about. Okay, so this story of what happened to Amy Davis was told to me months ago by my friend who was there the night after that this alleged sexual assault took place. And what was relayed to me months ago and in recent conversations is that Tim identified Amy as somebody that he was interested in joining him on the couple's ruse. He booked a hotel for her, a hotel room for her where some training was going on. And then he went up to her hotel room and wanted to audition her or interview her personally by himself. And that audition and interview included asking her questions like, so how far will you go to save kids? Or what are you willing to do to save kids? Priming her, just like he has done with multiple other women, to cast aside, set aside her own personal morals and what is normal for her. And that progressed into making out in the hotel room and removing some clothes, and progressed all the way into, he tried to coax her into the shower with him. And so what we're talking about is a man, a married man, going to a single woman's hotel room that he set up for her. And then these sexual encounters happened, and leading her to believe that it was part of the job, but is also, he was interested in her personally, like having a relationship with him, with her personally. And so that was what was relayed to me by my friend who was there shortly after these events took place. And I've known about this for a couple of months. So I haven't been able to talk about it, but now that Tim is attacking Amy, we can talk about it more openly. So disgusting that he would now attack Amy and accuse Amy of sexual assault against him, mm-hmm. when he put her in that situation.
And it also says in the text messages that we have evidence of, that like Matt Cooper is going to come up to have some paperwork for you to sign. And it's my understanding that what she was asked to sign was an NDA agreement, and that mm-hmm. Tim Ballard often makes everybody sign an NDA agreement. And then he progresses into this sexual assault territory.
Yep.
You know, if she signed an NDA before that happened?
Yeah, she signed an NDA before any of this happened. And what a great tool. If Tim really is a sexual predator, like he's alleged to be, then what a useful tool a non-disclosure agreement would be. Say, okay, now that you've signed this, which prevents you or restricts you from telling anybody what's going on in this training, in this audition, in what we're going to do, that is like a get out of jail free card for him, as he supposes. And then to go to her hotel room and have this sexual encounter and try and hold to her that this threat of legal action if she tells anybody, that's just so disgusting. And that's mm-hmm. like, what a useful tool if you really are a predator.
Thank you so much for joining us. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. This is the Cara Burrell YouTube channel and the Timmy Did What podcast. So wherever you're listening to this, whether on like Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or through our Patreon or through YouTube, whatever you can do to support this podcast means a lot, whether that's a like or a subscribe. Being on our Patreon a couple bucks a month really helps support this podcast, and we can keep getting this information out and support these women and have some accountability for Tim Ballard's actions. We have a lot more stuff coming as these lawsuits progress.
Hey guys, I'm in Latin America setting up child rescue operations, but I need to respond to this Fox 13 Amy story. It's very, very simple, guys. Her text messages speak for themselves. She accused me of assaulting her. I accused her of assaulting me. The very next day, she's texting me things. I'm not texting her things. She's texting me that she wants to be with me. Why did I reject her? She's enticed by my baby blue eyes. She wants to train. It's very simple. I told many people the minute that she tried to seduce me, what she had done, they immediately fired her. She admits being fired in the text. She continues to pursue, and her time is up. This is over. She will be held accountable for her actions, as well as the other plaintiffs, for lying, and for lying to the courts, for lying to the public, and hurting child rescue operations. And I need this to be done so I can get rid of them and get back to focusing solely on rescuing God's children.
Okay, he needs to get rid of them so he can get back to the work. On the side, it says, a local news story released a segment last night regarding my lawsuit against Amy Davis, former Miss Utah. They asked for an interview, but I was in the highlands of Latin America working on child trafficking cases. That's, of course, why. The last interview he did with Fox 13 with Adam Herberts, if you recall, he walked out of because he did like the line of questioning where he was being grilled on basically being a fraud. So he's like, I'm just so busy saving kids. I can't subject myself to that again. Make of that what you will.
Yeah, well, I find it so cowardly that he is hiding behind the saying that he's too busy to talk with Fox 13 reporter. That's, if this is what it is, if his reputation is at stake and he has actual credible, defensible positions, then he should talk to reporters all over the place and present all of the evidence that he has. But he doesn't want to be asked certain questions. That's why he won't talk with the press. That's why he won't talk with reporters. He wants to avoid certain questions. And the text messages are a great example of that. We'll read them to you. But he'll provide, you know, clips from the text messages without providing the context and the whole conversation, which paints a very different story from what he is claiming. So, I don't have any respect for somebody that's hiding from the press.
Yeah. And I mean, that's basically like what we're doing right now is if Tim was watching this and we could actually interview him ourselves, what we're going to be talking about today is, okay, Tim, you claim this in your lawsuit. However, in the text messages and the full context, they say this. What do you have to say to it? So, yeah, I think you're exactly right on. He doesn't want to actually have his feet held to the fire with any accountability with both sides.
Let's just run with that. Let's just pretend that we are interviewing Tim because I got a question for him that I really want to know what his answer is. And if any of press out there get access to him, ask him this question. So the alleged sexual assault that Amy came on to him, where did that happen? You know where it happened? The answer is it happened in Amy's hotel room. Any reporters ask about the circumstances on when this sexual assault happened, because who was going to who, I believe, says everything about the intent of that person.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and read a few items from Tim Ballard's lawsuit about this defamation that he's saying what the real story is. So this is really interesting. I want to read a couple of these things and then summarize it. So it starts off by saying how he reluctantly brings this lawsuit after waiting a near full year against her false claims against him to come forward with the truth. Rather than doing so, Ms. Davis doubled down recently by giving an interview to the New York Times, falsely stating that she was sexually assaulted by Mr. Ballard. The false claims have to stop, and this lawsuit is intended to begin putting a stop to them. OUR conducted a formal training starting October 14th, 2021, and continued throughout the weekend. Ms. Davis was invited to attend at OUR's expense and agreed to do so. She was under consideration as a possible undercover operator for OUR. Doesn't mention as a couple's ruse partner. Judge, you don't need to know that part. Unfortunately, it appears Ms. Davis was not there for the OUR training, but rather with hopes of seducing Mr. Ballard. In your dreams. On or about the evening of October 14th, 2021, participants in the training were expected to check in at the hotel conference room where the training was to be conducted. Ms. Davis never did so. All right, flaky. All right, we're paying for your hotel room. Where you at, girl? That's his whole thing. She's just some sexy, sexy, slutty, seductress Mormon mom who's fallen in love with me, and I got her this hotel room. She's not where she's ever supposed to be. That's pretty much what he goes on and on about. Mr. Ballard and another member of OUR staff stopped by her room to have her sign some necessary check-in paperwork, NDAs, and she confirmed she would attend training the next morning. On or about October 15th, 2021, the first day of training took place, Ms. Davis never showed up, despite having used her hotel room and accommodations at OUR's expense. I hope we don't have dozens of text messages from Tim Ballard himself saying, literally, if you come for 5 minutes, that's it. We'll get you a room for as long as you want. No pressure at all, sweet baby cakes. We have the hotel room for you. We're going to pay for it. Just please, 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 please come. That would be really awkward for Tim if that's what the text messages say. On or about the morning of October 16th, 2021, Mr. Ballard stopped by the room of Ms. Davis to ask why she did not show up for training the prior day and whether she intended to going forward. Ms. Davis had no good explanation for her lack of attendance other than to claim she had been practicing on her own, and she spontaneously began demonstrating her purported skills to Mr. Ballard. Her demonstrations, quote unquote, soon became obviously personal. And as soon as Mr. Ballard understood Ms. Davis was attempting to seduce him, he rejected the attempt, separated from Ms. Davis, and went down to the training conference room. Be so freaking for real right now. Upon his arrival at the training conference room, Mr. Ballard reported the incident to an OUR staff member. Mr. Ballard then took a seat at the training, and within approximately 1 hour, Ms. Davis showed up to the training and immediately approached Mr. Ballard. She whispered into Mr. Ballard's ear, "Come to my hotel room tonight," and walked away. A witness saw Mr. Ballard react to the whisper, and Mr. Ballard told him what was said. Mr. Ballard then reported the situation to two other staff members and asked Ms. Davis be removed from the training as her behavior disqualified her from further considerations. Tim, I'm here to save sex trafficked kids, but my semen is mysteriously on the skirt of my personal assistant in my couple's ruse hotel room. Ballard says, I immediately rejected it and threw her out of the building. I got more. Other than her brief appearance on or about the morning of October 16th, 2021, Ms. Davis never attended the training and was asked to leave thereafter in a friendly, non-confrontational manner. She confirms that she never saw Mr. Ballard after the October 2021 event. Based on more recent statements made publicly by Ms. Davis, she now falsely claims that there was no actual training by OUR at that time. Evidence is abundant to show that OUR indeed conducted training with many participants that weekend. Are you trying to gaslight her? She's saying that no actual training to save sex trafficked kids happened that weekend. I'm sure you rented out a ballroom and you had people dive for knives or some kind of ridiculous operation. But I think you know what she means by there was no training. There was some sex assaults, but there was not training she was involved in, that you brought her under different circumstances, Tim. Don't act dumb that you don't know what she means. So right here is all of Tim's defense. And this is such a wider topic about like sex assault victims and how male or female, how we react to things that are done non-consensually, and the real gross misunderstanding that Tim Ballard has and what his lawyers are trying to argue here. That's just like a slap in the face to like the real human psychology and human experience of how people talk and how they react after things, especially given everything we've said about his this hero worship and this buildup. So then, since his only defense, though, is he says, on October 22nd, 2021, Ms. Davis began texting Mr. Ballard expressing disappointment that she was not able to complete the training and potentially go undercover operations with Mr. Ballard. Although she now publicly claims she was assaulted by Mr. Ballard during the October 2021 training, and that Mr. Ballard supposedly made her feel very comfortable, her contemporaneous November 2021 and later texts tell a much different story. In November, her texts, she stated, among other things, so this is Tim cherry picking, quote, she said to him, I'm sad that we can't train together. I felt really comfortable with you. Hopefully the decision wasn't because of me. I really respect and admire you and love our connection. I trust you. I felt like we were a good fit. So let's put on our best like human psychology caps of why people do these types of things. Doesn't mean that she's a seductress. Doesn't mean that it was even consensual whatsoever, especially when it's under the guise that anything that did happen was something that was for a training to go and save kids. When that is held up there like this carrot, this pedestalization of this ideal, what are you going to do to save the kids? It's almost obvious to me, and I hope obvious to you, that of course, victims of somebody like Tim Ballard still try to make sense of it and still try to make that experience worth it and like worth the discomfort and everything that they went through, right? So she says, maybe we can talk in person. I'm sad I can't see you. Maybe your eyes cast a spell on me, LOL, baby blues. Mr. Ballard's responses remained consistently warm and accusing, still hoping to calm any waters with her and to avoid having her feel scorned. This is also interesting. It says, at some point in the summer of fall 2023, on information and belief, Ms. Davis, in collusion with others, secretly stated to leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and to members of the media that Mr. Ballard had sexually assaulted her. Plaintiff is not currently able to verify this allegation as the statements were made anonymously, so these facts will need to be determined through discovery. So as we know, Tim Ballard was denounced by the LDS Church about a year ago, and that the Mormon Church is distancing themselves from Tim Ballard for his morally unacceptable behavior. And Tim has been on a rampage for the last year, as we know, of like, who ruined my relationship with Elder Ballard? Wasn't me. Who told who? What did M. Russell Ballard even know? And so this is kind of really interesting to me. Tim has said that his breakdown of the relationship with M. Russell Ballard is the most offensive thing of anything he's been accused of. Where I'm like, Tim, you've been accused of literal rape. Like, if you've dedicated your entire life to ending sex trafficking and ending the exploitation and sexual assault of women and children, shouldn't you being accused of that thing be the most offensive thing? But so Tim is really, really angry and upset at his relationship with the LDS Church breaking down. I feel like that also kind of takes off the mask about why you're going after them with such strong smears. And then this is interesting. It says, in her personal statement, which was published widely via the press release, again, when she was anonymous, Ms. Davis claims, has a lot of dot, dot, dots and things left out, but that she, quote, met Tim at my hotel room where I did another audition to see if I was eligible. He said to show me what I was willing to do or how far I was willing to go without physical contact. He told me to say F me and look in his eyes. I felt very uncomfortable, and then parentheses, wholly contradictory to her extemporaneous text messages in October 2021 proclaiming she was really comfortable with Mr. Ballard. Well, which is it? Ah, this is a bad defense. Ooh, this is, I'm uncomfortable, and I'm stating that. Fellas, everybody out there, this is, you're not saying what you think you're saying. You're saying you wholly misunderstand a lot of things about psychology and sexual assault victims. And it goes on to say, quote, after a long while with his arms around me, he said he was too turned on and that we should go to the gym together. I declined. I never saw him again. And he later told me he couldn't do any missions anymore. I was told the next day to go to training, but there wasn't any training to go to. In her complaint, which was published widely via the press release, she claimed, among other things, quote, Ballard participated in several sexual acts with the exception of actual penetration in various states of undress while on ops missions. Mr. Ballard committed battery and sexual assault on her. Mr. Ballard made fraudulent statements to her, including that the couple's ruse helps in fighting human trafficking, which statements she claims are false. Undercover operators, law enforcement, people who work in sex trafficking, can't wait for the trial for these, you know, experts to be on the stand for them to say she is correct. They are not helpful aides. So Tim is mad that she, Miss Utah, is adding her name, her voice, her reputation to this lawsuit and disseminating this to the press and defaming his character that he's worked so hard for. And then he includes these text messages. But I do think it's really interesting that the way that he includes them, I know it's kind of small on screen, but he doesn't include anything in context. He just, the exhibits that are attached to this are also really telling to me, because everything is one text message at a time pulled instead of the entirety of the conversation, which is what I want to just highlight next, because that's part of her lawsuit and as a response to his defamation lawsuit. So I will put the full documentation of all of this on our Patreon, To Me Did What, which, you know, a couple bucks a month helps support this podcast. And if you want to read it more, it's available other places online as well. But for these text conversations between Amy and Tim, the full context really does matter. And it shows that bare minimum, I know we weren't in the hotel room about what actually happened, but bare minimum, we can say for certain that what Tim just said in his lawsuit of defamation against Amy is a wholesale mischaracterization of what actually happened. So reading it kind of in context, one thing that stands out to me is he says this multiple times throughout, you know, the weeks leading up to this training at the hotel, where he's consistently trying to get her to come. And she's a really busy person. She's on set doing various different things. She's a busy mom. And he's saying, like, I can work around your schedule. He says, my plan was to hang out after the session, which ends around 8 or so. Then we can talk and do some practicals at bars or something, but I can flex around your schedule. Again, she takes a lot longer to respond to him through this whole course of conversations. And he's kind of like antsy to get it going. He's like, hey, you good? Don't be bailing on me now. And she's like, no, of course not. He even invites her to a screening of The Sound of Freedom. And this again speaks to like this hero worship of who he was to her. And she says to him, wow, that was an incredible show. I got a little teary-eyed toward the end. Worth the drive to see it. It was so inspiring to see everything in action. Thank you for inviting me. I wanted to hear you speak, but I had to run. When the movie ended, talk soon. And he's like, glad you liked it. He's talking about taking her out to strip clubs. Again, I really like to point out the contradictions in the way that Tim speaks, because it feels like every single thing, even the smaller things that he says, is like an opposite town lie, because he'll be in interviews like with Last Dispensation on his channel ranting about the women and how he'll say stuff like that. All these women who are accusing me, they've been begging to come on operations. We have to cut them. Like, we have really high standards and people are begging to do these operations. They wanted to do these things, victim blaming, but all throughout these text messages, you know, she mentioned she's going to the gym. He's like, oh, come to our gym. Like every opportunity he can to see her, to be around her. Tim is just like Johnny on the spot with that. He's throwing it out there. He tells her that he'll get her a room for a few days at the Marriott. And he says, we'll practice scenarios at night. Okay. which will prep us for scenarios for Friday or Saturday when they go out to like a strip club of some kind. So bring club type clothes. I'll be in earrings, tattoos, etc. Then here, don't miss this. It says, let's plan to do one-on-one training tomorrow night. Good. Your room is booked, so feel free to come tonight or whenever. Then Tim goes on to say in this group chat between Matt Cooper, Amy, Tim, says that her room's, you know, it's all booked. It's ready to go. Again, this directly contradicts what he says in his defamation lawsuit. He did not share these text messages. I think due to the late invite, Amy won't be able to be a full-time student in this class. She will be helping me with a role play, and Amy and I will be seeing how we work together in the process. So as to avoid any issues or questions as to why Amy gets to skip out on certain classes, best to get her room at Marriott. Makes sense. And then he says, so she'll be more like staff than student. That highly contradicts his defamation lawsuit of just what a flaky seductress she was, that we paid for her room and she barely showed up when he was always trying to be flexible to get her to come at any time, any place. And that right here where it says, helping me with this role play. And so it is already intended in the group chat. He's telling Matt, he's telling Amy that we're going to be participating in a couple's ruse role play. That Tim Ballard in his lawsuit said that she's claiming that the couple's ruse doesn't even work. This is a legitimate tactic. That's false. It of course works. I of course am telling her that the couple's ruse works. I am of course trying to test out my chemistry with her. But if you're saying that I sexually assaulted her when she actually sexually assaulted me, you got another thing coming. That's literally his argument. When it says right here, he's going to be in charge of administering some kind of training with her in a hotel room alone after signing an NDA, keep in mind. Tim Ballard right here is saying, I'm going to initiate a role play right on the heels of this potential couple's ruse partner, this gorgeous beauty queen, Miss Utah, who just watched him in The Sound of Freedom glorified fictional tale about what a badass, awesome, heroic, Mormon, amazing guy that he is. Tim Ballard, right on the heels of taking her to that movie, giving her special treatment time and time again, is going to take her to a hotel room and tell her to do a role play for something called the couple's ruse that Tim Ballard claims is not inappropriate whatsoever. But within that, she seduced him, she sexually assaulted Tim, and he threw her out. Does anyone actually believe it? And I think this portion of the text conversation really indicates to me that she wasn't willing to do the things that Tim Ballard wanted her to do, and that she is not in her core some sexy seductress who is just desperate for Tim Ballard's D. So he says, let's go clubbing Thursday night, find our groove in dirty places, Tim Ballard says. And she says, wow, that would definitely be out of my groove, haha. And he's like, don't worry, Cooper will bodyguard, chaperone. She's like, okay, so a real club. And that's when he sends this information about like a strip club, you know, like I'm an ex-Mormon. I've been to a strip club once and my stripper friend was like, it might be like kind of difficult, triggering. It's pretty intense. And I was like, I got it. For me, it was like, it's an intense environment. I can't imagine my Mormon mind or anybody, like it's an intense environment. So then at some point at this time that they meet in a hotel room and this sex assault from one person to the other, I'm not speculating who was the perpetrator and who was the victim. We shall never know. So at some point that goes down. Okay, now we've made it to the day of the incident of October 16th. So these are the text messages in context. I'm going to read them exactly for you. You can make up your mind. She says she's getting sleepy and he says, I never saw you come back. Are you at the hotel? She says, oh, I'm sorry. I came back around 8 p.m. but didn't want to bother you. I've been lounging around. I'm here all day tomorrow. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were back. Let's chat in the AM and we can talk about scenarios tomorrow night. Text me when you're up and ready to hang. We don't start sessions until 10 a.m. And she says, morning at 10 a.m. by 1:43 that same day, she says, I just got rejected, haha. I thought we were doing demonstrations / clubbing tonight and working together, but maybe I was confused. So sorry, I didn't realize it was all day training. I would have made sure to be there. Coming now. Then she says, we're all dressed up. If you want us to come, say hi before we leave. I came from work. Emma got us some cute outfits, haha. Again, Emma is the friend that Ryan has been talking about. Nothing from Tim. And then on October 18th, she says, am I in trouble with you? Hopefully not. Was she in trouble? Doesn't sound like she was, you know, kindly escorted off the premises immediately like Tim claims that she was. And then he says, no! Exclamation point times five. Not at all. Sorry things got so crazy and I didn't have my phone during scenarios. I was hoping you and Emma were going to show up to one of the scenes. I will get you next time. She says, oh, me too. We were ready, but Matt told Emma not to come anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. I think we had already started. I was without my cell phone and totally enrolled. Not your fault. It was just crazy with so many moving parts. She says, okay, copy that. No big deal. Good luck in your next operation and keep me posted. And thank you again for everything. He says, okay, cool. You know, I'll contact you maybe in the future. I'll let Coop know. And maybe we can use it in another training. Again, totally contradicting what he said, that they gave her an one-way outskis ticket to Whoresville. It's a train leaving in the opposite direction from Tim Ballard, who loves being in bed with his wife laying naked while she wears her temple garments. Ballard. He says, how about next week? I'm home all next week. This doesn't sound like a guy who just said she's too inappropriate. We have to leave her, does it? Next week, OUR, we can train and chat some more. They try to make plans to meet up again, to do more training. And then he says he's out of town and they'll catch up. And then, you know, a couple of weeks go by and then she says, just read your message. So sorry. The past weeks were busy, but I finally have a break this week. Anyway, I'm sad we can't train together. I felt really comfortable with you. Hopefully the decision wasn't because of me. I really respect and admire you and loved our connection. I'm not sure I'd want to train with anyone else because I trust you and felt like we were a good fit. Either way, maybe we can talk in person. Let me know. My schedule is finally open. Tim replies, hey, not you at all. I'm not partnering with anyone at all. I'm totally out of doing undercover work altogether. Had I stayed in, for sure, I would have loved to partner with you. We would have killed it together. I hope you're doing well. She replies, dang, I definitely feel rejected. Haha. I get it. You're busy. You have a family and I'm just a nobody trying to keep up with people like you, doing my thing, making my own living. Just proud to say that I'm here and it's taken a hell of a lot of work on my own without help from anyone. So for whatever that's worth, I'm completely fine standing alone. And by the way, I came to that event to support you because I was impressed with you and you invited me and then nothing. And now this just seems misleading. And our time together did mean something to me. Tim replies, no, please don't feel rejected at all. At the training, I thought I would be continuing in ops a few weeks after it was decided. I need to be out of ops. Nothing to do with you at all. And she says, I do, though. And he says, no intent to mislead. Tim at the time said this is inappropriate and reported it to the other staff members of OUR there. And nothing in the text conversation whatsoever indicates that Tim, that you were telling her that it was inappropriate, the sex assault that went down, because if Tim's going to apply the standard that she said all of these really nice flattering things to me and she's lying and somebody who's been sex assaulted doesn't talk like that. By the same token, Tim, if she sex assaulted you, why are you saying so many nice flattering things about her? Does beg the question, does it not? She says, it's fine, Tim. I get it. It's just sad is all. He says, I agree. I too am sad to be leaving ops. I love what I'm doing. She says, I'm sad I can't see you. We had a connection. She says, maybe you cast a spell on me. And then I don't know the rest of Amy's story. Maybe she'll come on one day and tell the rest of it to us exactly, you know, what went down from there. But at some point, she made the connection that Tim came to her hotel room under false pretenses. To be practicing for the couple's ruse was a legitimate type of undercover operation that actually saved kids. And that he says things to her like, what would you do to save the kids? And then progressively takes off her clothes and tests her boundaries and does very sexual assault things to her. And at the time, she's trying to make sense of, was that legitimate? Was it not? But knowing that it's not a legitimate tactic and that potentially she's correct, that it is extremely misleading if maybe he already knew that he wasn't going to be doing any ops anymore. And what is the point of even taking women to the hotel rooms to practice the couple's ruse if The Sound of Freedom has just come out and you already are too famous to be doing undercover operations in all of the same countries and cities that your movie is playing in, that you are going on a world tour to promote it? So maybe Tim already knew that he wasn't even going on operations. So this sounds a lot more like a casting couch situation, that if there was like a Hollywood producer, director, actor who was making a movie and lining up beauty pageant queens out of his trailer saying, come on in. And this scene that you are up for the role of, most important part of the scene is getting down on your knees and blowing me. I need to know that you have the acting chops and the charisma to land this Oscar winning movie that's going to be a favorite of the award season. But the only scene I really need you to audition for is getting naked for me, taking off your clothes and doing sexual acts with me. That's honestly what it sounds more like. And like, oh shit, this isn't even a Hollywood trailer for a Hollywood movie. This is just like, this trailer was a Beth Lab 5 minutes ago. And I mean, it's really disheartening. It has over 40,000 likes, 40,000 people who follow him on just Instagram alone, forget Facebook, Twitter, everywhere else, said, oh my gosh, go Tim, go take these evil seductresses down. We believe you. So these women, they need a lot of support, and they have a lot of frightening people threatening them and coming after them. So that's about as deep of a dive that I want to get into right now about the lawsuits and what Tim is alleging versus what Amy is alleging. You can make up your mind on what you think about the evidence. And we have some other things that we want to get into as well. So, Ryan.
Tim alleges in this lawsuit, in his description, is his story that Amy came on to him, Amy tried to seduce him, that Amy sexually assaulted him, which I don't really see in the lawsuit a good description of how that sexual assault happened. Tim is portraying himself as the victim. She was in that hotel room because Tim set up that hotel room for her. She was there to be evaluated to be an operative for OUR and be considered for going on operations in the couple's ruse as Tim's girlfriend. He chose her. He had Matt Cooper set up a hotel room for her to stay there. Even though she's local, she doesn't need a hotel room. He set up and gave her a really nice hotel room. Then he went to that hotel room once she was there at night, and that's where this incident took place. So this entire situation was set up by Tim for Tim to be alone with this single woman, Tim, a married man, to be alone with a single woman in her hotel room at the Grand America. Like, that's the context of where this incident happened. So in the hotel room, it was only Tim and Amy. And what happened is he's got a version of the story. She has a version of the story, but I can't ignore the fact that he set up that situation. He put her there. He swooned her with promises of a job, promises of doing these great things like he does. And this just fits a pattern of behavior that he has with all of the women. He's not finding women that are experienced in anti-human trafficking efforts. He's not finding women that are part of law enforcement. He's not finding women that are experienced in any way, shape, or form. Look at the background of Kira. She's a stylist. Celeste is also a stylist. Amy Morgan Davis was professional makeup artist and stylist also. Like, they have to be starstruck in some way, shape, or form for this ruse to work. And so the pattern with Celeste, Kira, Crystal, all of the other women, it's the exact same pattern of grooming and of manipulation that we see with the other women. And that's probably why Amy came forward with her testimony once she heard what was happening to the other women. I assume she'd be like, oh yeah, that happened to me. Now I can see why he was doing what he was doing. What appears to be happening is the same thing that's been happening with all the other women. He is trying to, I mean, not just seduce, but trying to get women to fall in love with him. And that's pretty evident in all the texts. Through spiritual manipulation, through grooming tactics, and also through physical advances. That's probably all I got to say about that. He's not giving the whole full context of the story, and he's not taking into account that there is a witness that is part of Amy's defense. And he's also not taking into account that this is a long pattern of the same MO, the same tactics that he's perpetuated on multiple women throughout OUR's existence. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And the spiritual manipulation part of that, and looking up to him as this spiritual giant, this person who just had the Sound of Freedom movie released, so like overwhelmed with emotion about what a hero he is and complimenting him. And so, unfortunately, there are some people who are like, yeah, Tim is a total sleazebag for doing all this, but also the women are totally stupid. And I say to that, no, like, as a woman myself, who I have definitely have experiences being groomed by people that I trust. And I look back at things where I say, okay, like I had a false sense of security and trust in this person, and the things that they did to me, they were able to do because I looked up to them, and I could not possibly put together that somebody in this position would be doing something that could cause trauma or harm. And it takes a while. I think anyone who is the victim of sexual assault can also attest that sometimes it takes a while to process what actually happened and how you deconstruct your like hero worship of a person to really get to the bottom of the grooming and the manipulation. And so Tim's only defense that he has is saying, well, afterwards, she had all these complimentary things to say about me. That's what his right-hand man, Matt Cooper, has said about other women like Sasha that or Kira, that, okay, well, if I raped you, then how come right afterwards you said that you still wanted to do ops with me? I would love to hear from other men or women in the comment section. And please, you know, add your experience and your commentary on that, because I personally think that Tim Ballard is somebody who he's supposed to be, honestly, an expert at things that have to do with sexual assault and tactics of a groomer and people who sex traffic women and children. And he misunderstands one of the basic fundamentals of that, which is sometimes people in these situations don't know that they're being trafficked, don't know that they're being manipulated and groomed. He should know that better than anyone, right? And yet he acts like nobody, whoever is sexually assaulted, ever still, you know, confides in and looks up to their assaulter right afterwards. I think Tim Ballard is very obtuse, for lack of a better word, at understanding how this actually works. And he is banking on his audience, his small audience of supporters, also not having a full context and understanding of how just the psychology of sex assault really works. And yeah, what's all kind of baked into the mindset of these women who have been assaulted by him.
They paint a picture where Amy is interested in Tim personally, and interested in a relationship. Now, Amy's was a single woman at the time, and the text messages do show that they have a personal relationship going, a personal connection going. It's only afterwards that she realizes that this isn't, that he's not seriously interested in having a relationship with her. He talked to her about marital problems that he was having. So we just released a audio clip where Tim is talking with one of his coworkers, somebody else that he was participating in the couple's ruse with, in which he was talking about his sexual frustrations with his wife, Catherine. Inappropriate for a married man to do. Obviously, it's also inappropriate for somebody to do with a coworker, but it's very inappropriate for somebody that you are pretending to go on these operations and act as boyfriend, girlfriend on these operations.
It's grooming in its own right.
It's absolutely grooming. It's like, you know, my sex life and my marriage is, you know, horrible. Can you help me with that kind of pitch? Well, we just released that audio clip. You can go listen to that. Kara posted it
on our Patreon.
On our Patreon, that where he talks about his sexual frustration with his wife. He did the same thing with Amy. He talks about his frustrations with his own marriage and was leading her to believe that it was going to end and that this would be a potential relationship for her to pursue as, you know, a good Mormon woman that's looking for a husband and a family. And this is a successful, stable guy that's a hero, that's doing good things, that loves kids. Like, if you go down his resume sheet, he looks pretty attractive as a potential future husband and things. And he presents himself as that to her. And so when you see the text messages where she's like exploring this relationship and connection they have, that's because he gave that to her. He led her on to believe that he was seriously interested in having a relationship with her, as evidenced by making out on a hotel room bed at the Grand America. And then, and the things that were said that lead up to that, you know, there's, he doesn't just walk into a room and just grab a girl and start kissing her. That's not how, that's how relationships start. There's obviously a discussion and a friendship and a connection of some sort to begin with. Now, why did Amy feel like there was a connection and a potential relationship down there? And, you know, it has to be because Tim led her on to believe that. If Tim was acting very professional from the very beginning, then there's no reason for Amy to believe that there was potentially a relationship down there. But she's also probably very confused because he's married, but then he's leading her on to believe that maybe he's not going to be married for very long, that relationship is on the rocks. So it's a very confusing situation for her. And that situation was created by Tim. It's 100% on his watch that he created that situation, that he put her in that hotel room, that he went to her hotel room, and then they had this strange encounter.
So just for to help people to understand, because what you're telling me is something that is what's been related to you by mm-hmm. her good friend, that's your good friend, the person who was yep. there at the hotel room with her. But that potential future relationship dynamic, that's not quite like laid out in the text messages necessarily. You can definitely see how that would be true.
My personal friend, somebody I went to college with, was there the night after that these things happened, and she talked to her about it. And so my friend is Emma. She's an awesome person, and I'm so glad that she's finally able to come forward in defense of her friend. And I sat down and interviewed her, and I'm not going to go through the entire interview and the whole story of what she has, but I want to play for you one clip that is relevant about who Amy is as somebody that knows her very personally.
What are some of the characteristics that you use to describe Amy as a person?
Being an example is such a huge thing for her. And I hope she doesn't mind. I mean, when I was just, I had just texted her to tell her that I was going to be, if that was okay if I talked to you. She's just been devastated that she, all her life has been building, wanting, desiring to be a good example for other, you know, young women that are doing pageants. She's coached pageants. She's mentored so many girls on how to gain confidence in this world. And then, yeah. So to have her smeared unfairly, like, that is I feel that pain for her, because it feels such like a betrayal of, like, I've always wanted to stand for these values of integrity and honesty, and she does, and she is, and that's what I told her. I was like, you know what, Amy, like, millions of women have these bad encounters, and it's really hard for them to stand up for themselves, and they're told weird things to manipulate them for whatever, for gain. And it takes a lot of courage. It's Tim Ballard's like diehard fans that are going to, that, you know, will say such hurtful, hateful things just to defend their hero. And yeah, and she doesn't deserve that. She hasn't lived a life that deserves that whatsoever.
So that's coming from somebody that knows Amy very well. Not only was there when this training exercise is going on and knows the details personally, can be a witness, character witness for Amy on what actually happened, but also somebody that has known her since middle school. And it's so appalling and offensive to her for Tim to come out and attack somebody that's a really good person personally, but then also an ambassador of those kind of good values for the entire state of Utah, that wanted to do something good in the world, which is a value that Utahns share, you know, from the missionary efforts to the philanthropic endeavors of multiple nonprofits, including the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, striving to do something good Amy was part of that. She was trying to do something good. She was trying to join an organization and use her talents and abilities to save kids and make a difference in the world. And Tim is taking that and using it for his own personal sexual gratification and then smearing her and trying to take down her reputation. That's mm-hmm. absolutely appalling. And I'm really pissed off about it. And more people in Utah, especially at the governmental and law enforcement and societal level, need to come forward, and we need to clean up this mess and stop this smear campaign against Amy and against all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And the only thing I have to add to that is, you know, the words from her friend, you know, I don't know Amy personally, but I do know now, like a lot of the other women that have come out against Tim Ballard, who worked with him closely, who are couples of his partners, who were either raped or sexually assaulted and groomed and a whole host of horrible things done to them in the pursuit of something that they were told and manipulated was to save children. And I always want to kind of bring it back to that, because whether people have, you know, been on the pro Tim Ballard camp, well, they watched the Sound of Freedom movie, and obviously sex trafficking of women and children and all these horrible atrocities are something that do exist in the world, and that people with good hearts, they want to write checks. They want to support whoever is, you know, attacking the traffickers of the world to take them down and make the world safer and have less of these horrific crimes against women and children take place. Like, people with a good heart can see that, and they focus in on Tim Ballard being that person that they can trust with that. And these women are no different than kind of fans who signed up and put their lives on the line to do that work. And so it just brings it back to the good nature of Amy and Celeste and Kira and all these different women who were so groomed and manipulated into thinking that Tim's ways to save these sex trafficked kids and their role is such a monumental role, to be Tim Ballard's partner, to be trusted, to be convinced that they have something special, that if they are to give of their time and their bodies, their sexuality, put their lives on the line to be in situations that are not only dangerous, but also where they're not protected by sex traffickers, where they are, you know, up to being raped by the traffickers in massage parlors. They are putting their bodies, you know, at the whims of Tim Ballard for him to do whatever chemistry and whatever grooming and manipulation assaults that he deems fit for the chemistry, for the pursuit of rescuing kids. These women, they had such, you know, a good nature trust of Tim Ballard that is honestly not that different than your average fan of Tim Ballard. So they're put in this situation. And then I think people kind of overlook how difficult it must be for people like Amy to make sense of what this exchange was, what this chemistry experiment, this couple's ruse audition is actually all about. Because was I just not good enough? Did I not do it right? Because this is obviously a good man, and this tactic obviously works to save kids, right? And it's just me. It's just that I didn't do something right. And that's what's kind of evident in Amy's text messages, is she's like, you know, I'm confused. I feel misled. Did I get dropped? Like, what could I have done? And so after this, like, sex assault and this exchange in the hotel room happened, you can see her being very confused, because in her mind, she probably still thinks that this couple's ruse audition is still a potential way to save kids, not understanding the full context of, you are another person in a long line of people that Tim Ballard was grooming, manipulating, getting his rocks off. And this is not in any way, shape, or form a legitimate tactic that law enforcement uses. And so it speaks to, like, not just like the naivete, that's like kind of an easier way to look at it. I think it speaks to the good nature of people like Amy and Celeste and Kira, that Tim Ballard is trying desperately to smear them as now they are in league with the sex traffickers. I don't know about you, Ryan, but I feel like a lot of their process, you could say, like, deconstruction of actually truly viewing Tim Ballard as the monster that he is, probably took a long time to realize that, like, okay, I don't like this exchange that happened and this assault, but he's still a good guy, or this couple's ruse thing still is a thing. And then having to deconstruct and having to really process, like, that was for nothing. That was for him. All of that happened just for him. That I wasn't actually going to save any kids because that's where their heart was. And that's still where their heart is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's absolutely true. And that's my experience too. Like it, I put him on my TV show for 4 years on air. And I also ran American Covenant tours with him. And I believed for a really long time that he was doing this because he believed in me that, and he believed in the message. And then once it was revealed that he wanted the money and he didn't need me anymore, then he dropped me like that. And it wasn't until 6 years later, after devoting so much of my life to this guy, that I realized, oh my gosh, my assumptions about him being a good person and being in this for the right reasons were completely wrong. He's a narcissist that's in it for fame and money. But it took me personally 6 years to finally figure that out through his own actions and his decisions down the road. And he led me on for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And so with the women, they're deconstructing what happened to them. And it's only until they got together and they realized, oh, Tim told you that he's having marital problems. Tim told you that he thought they were married in a past life. It all of a sudden, it comes into focus once they shared their testimonies with each other that he wasn't in it for the reasons he said he was in it. And so it's a process, and Amy's going through that process, and I feel my heart goes out to her. It's really, really, really hard realization to come to terms with the fact that you were led on and deceived. And a lot of people, most of the people involved with OUR are going through that same process, that they were led on, they were deceived, they were manipulated by this guy, and it's just left a wake of damage in the people's lives. And we're talking about really good people that were in this for a lot of them for the right reasons, wanting to do something good in the world. And he used that passion and that commitment and that loyalty to trying to uphold good values and make a difference in the world for his own deviant sexual purposes, fame and money, self-aggrandizing purposes. And now we're all going through that same deconstruction that Amy's going through right now.
Right. And if you're ready, I think this is a good place to kind of lead into what Sasha had to say. That she sent me a personal video and she said, Carrie, you can go ahead and share this. And if you remember, Sasha was a couple's ruse partner of Tim's. And I have a really, really important episode that we did that I want to link below, because if you ever need undeniable proof of Tim Ballard lying, saying that he saved kids in Mexico that there's no evidence that he helped save, and then by the same token, saying that Sasha prevented 50 more kids from being saved by coming out. And so we have a whole episode with kind of Sasha's story reading what she said in the lawsuit. And she was really grateful that I put that episode out.
So next, let's go ahead and play a clip with Sasha that she gave to you, Kara.
Man, look at Timmy go. Let me tell you this story. Once upon a time, I was sitting with Tim in a private house overlooking the ocean, going there to rescue children and women. When I saw some things that were happening that, in my feeling and opinion at the time, was not morally okay for this type of a company or human or mission, I remember I looked him in the eye and I stood up to him and I said, if you don't tell somebody about this, I will. You know what's funny? He fell backwards, terrified, because the truth will always stand. So this little video that he sent out with me, it's a good thing I have the undoctored full context video and I know what happened. So Timmy, good luck to you. You keep telling your lies. What's that saying? You keep telling lies about me, I'll keep telling truths about you.
Okay, Tim, keep telling lies about these women and they'll keep telling the truth about you. There's a lot of people that know what's going on, and we're going to keep pumping that truth out, and the truth will stand at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. It really will. Extremely courageous women that I look up to so, so much. We really appreciate your support and we need funding. We need donors. I have a 501c3 nonprofit called the Nuance Hug Foundation. So there is a link down below to a donor box. All donations are tax deductible in the United States. So that's a great resource to help us fund this podcast and the future projects that we're doing to keep all this content coming out, these stories being told. Monthly recurring donations are awesome. So between that and our Patreon, our Timmy Did What Patreon, we have weekly uploads of all kinds of exclusive content that we don't post anywhere else, with different evidence and different things that are leaked to us that we think are really important pieces of the story. So a couple bucks a month, you can join that community on Patreon, and that would really mean a lot to us as well. Obviously, subscribing to this channel costs nothing. Hitting the like button and leaving a comment for the algorithm is also really helpful. And any comments of support and encouragement to Tim's victims and people like Amy Morgan Davis also go a long way. They read your comments and they feel really loved and supported when people believe them and are listening to these stories, so they don't feel so alone.
Yeah. So we got a lot more to share with you coming forward in the coming days and weeks. And actually, Kara, did you know what? I got something to tell you.
Timothy, my sex life with the missus is Snoresville Ballard did what?
Podcast coming up on the Timmy Did What podcast. Join us next time and we'll share with you all that too.
Thanks, guys. Bye.